Thank you again for coming. We trust you'll be blessed as you continue to hear the word of God. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, please. Ephesians in chapter number 2. Ephesians 2, and we're going to read verse number 13. Ephesians 2 and verse number 13. Ephesians 2:13 says, speaking to Christians, he says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who once were far off are made nigh, come close by the blood of Christ." But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off are made nigh, come close by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In that, do it for God's, with God's richest blessing. We've been hearing from our brother Jonathan of this big distance between us and God. Those of you here last night, we saw that very clearly brought out in the story of what happened at the very beginning of time, when Adam and Eve had sinned in the beautiful garden of paradise, of Garden of Eden, and God says, "Adam, where are you?" And he was hiding in the trees, and they were kind of patching themselves up with fig leaves, and they're trying to put on the best show they can, but they're hiding from God. A picture to us of what humanity has been doing all along. I don't know if you ever played hide and seek when you were young, you know, looking at a favourite game when we were boys, hide and seek. But I think as adults we've been playing hide and seek a long time. And the idea is that what we see with Adam and with God is he's afraid of God, he's running away from God, he's hiding from God, and there's now no longer that sweet communion. There's just a distance. That's where Isaiah 59 is. Your sins have separated you between you and your God. And I tell you, once you recognise that there is a big problem, a big distance between you and God, you're ready to hear what the remedy is. But until you understand that point, that you are lost, then you'll never want to be found. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's another word for the devil, is blinding the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, who is the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so what he's saying is that he's coming around with his blindfold, and he's saying, "You're actually all right. You know, there's a lot of folk worse than you. You know what? I wouldn't get too worried. They're speaking about a big distance, but I don't think it's quite as big as they're thinking." And he's just sowing into your hearts that actually you don't need a mediator because you're okay. I met one today. In fact, I met several today. I remember I met a witch today. I didn't get much speak with her today, but the last time I met a witch, I said to her, "What's that thing around your neck?" It was a kind of grotesque necklace. She says, "That's the god of Thor, and I wear it because I'm the righteous one." I says, "Lady, you're in the same position as I am. We're both unrighteous, and there's only one righteous one, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ." That's what he's telling people. He's telling people they're okay, no matter what their belief system is. I met an atheist today, and he thought he had goodness in his life to the extent that he needed no God. That's just what I'm saying. The devil's doing a very good job at saying there isn't actually a distance. There isn't a problem. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is a problem. There is a distance. And the chaos in our world and the confusion in our world and the misery in our world is a direct result of sin in our world. And it's coming fast for judgment. We preach a gospel that preaches a coming judgment day. Paul preached it in Athens. He says, "God now commands all men everywhere to repent, for he's appointed a day into which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised them from the dead." And so there is going to be a judgment day, and there is a distance. And we have to waken up to the fact that we need God in our life, and we need that bridge. We need someone to bridge the gap. And that's why our brother's verse in 1 Timothy 2 is so critical. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. This is the good news of the gospel, that distance was bridged by God's Son, the eternal Son of the eternal God, our Lord Jesus Christ. He left the glory of heaven and came down to be a baby in Bethlehem's manger. He came down to a carpenter's bench. He lived down here, not for a week, but for 33 and a half years, an absolutely perfect life, a beautiful life. A man that never lost his temper, a man that never swore, a man that had no secrets in his life, completely transparent, holy, harmless, undefiled. And he went to a cross at Calvary, and he died for the sins of men and women and boys and girls, and bore our judgment and took our place and took our punishment and bridged the gap between heaven and earth, that there might be a ransom paid for every single soul. You know, in passing, our brother Jonathan mentioned some big words. And I'm going to use a big word, and the big word is redemption. I know it's not a word that we use much, but it's connected to this idea of ransom, and I've got to use it. I suppose we don't use it much, but a few hundred years ago, you know, when slavery was rife, you went into a slave ship that was making its way across from Africa to the Caribbean and shouted out, redemption! They all would know all the meaning. They would, every one of them, know the meaning of that word. It would mean freedom, liberty. Someone's paid to release me from the bondage of slavery. You know, when I was a boy about this size, maybe about 9 years of age, the first black man that was ever knighted by our queen stayed in our house. His name was Sir George Rattray. He was the governor of Bermuda, and he was a giant of a man, a lovely man. And he came across to be knighted down here in Buckingham Palace by the queen, the governor of Bermuda. He told me his dad was a slave. And he says to me, he told me when I was young, told me about the day his father was released from. So it's in relatively recent history this happened. Redemption, the idea of release from slavery. You say, well, I'm no slave. Well, the Bible says you are, and so am I. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus said, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin, or a slave to a sin. You say, I'm no drug addict. Well, you give God thanks for that. Many have been exposed to drugs and can't get away from it. And drug addiction is a very big issue. You say, I'm no alcoholic. Well, you give God thanks for that. There's many people really struggling with alcohol. You say, I'm no gambler. Well, you give God thanks for that. Because there's many people got a huge gambling addiction, and these sins have just got a hold of them, and they can't get out of them, and they see no way out of it. But let me suggest to you, there'll be another vice that's got you. Maybe you're someone who can't stop telling lies. Maybe you're someone who loses your temper pretty quick. Violence, just like that. Maybe you're someone that you have a lust problem. Maybe you're someone who has a covetous issue. Just are jealous of other people, envious of their lifestyle, what you have. And you see, sin's got this incredible habit of getting us in a vice. And we need liberated. We are slaves to sin. And that's where the redemption word comes. You see, the Lord Jesus came as the mediator to bridge the gap. And what did he do? What did he do when he was bridging the gap? Did he do anything for my liberty? He says he gave himself a ransom for all. He paid the legal price for your soul. He paid the ransom price for my soul. And he bought me at Calvary. At Calvary's cross, there was a great deposit laid down for Craig Monroe and for you as well, whoever you are. And the Lord Jesus Christ died in order that you might be released from your sins. You say, am I redeemed? Well, the payment's been made. But you've got to accept it. You've got to come as a guilty sinner and accept it. You know, way back in the book of Exodus, there's a story told of the Passover. And it's a strange story, but most people know it perhaps, of how that God was plaguing the Pharaoh, trying to get him to release his own people from the slavery of Egypt. And eventually, after many plagues had been given, he said to them, take a lamb, a lamb, a male without blemish. Take it from the 10th day of the first month, keep it until the 14th day. On the 14th day, slay it, put blood on the doorpost and the upper lintel, and get inside the house. And when I see the blood, I will pass over, and I'll not come in and destroy the firstborn. And so everybody who put the blood upon the doorpost in the house and went inside were safe. But those who didn't, they died. I want to ask you, if you were sitting in a house and there was a lamb outside and it had already been dead, but you didn't put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, you wouldn't be safe. Even though that lamb had died for you, you would be coming under the judgment of God. It required them to put the blood onto the doorpost and the upper lintel. That's called the little hand of faith. The payment has been paid for your soul. The Lord Jesus is the Lamb of God who is the taker away of the sins of the world. We've just heard he's the mediator between God and men who gave himself a ransom for all. The price has been paid, but you've got to accept it. And there's a little hand of faith required. It goes out and says, I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. You know, there's a little hand of faith that reaches out and says, you know, I would love to be saved. I want the Lord Jesus. A cry of mercy. In blind Bartimaeus' case, it was this. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That's what he shouted. I'm not saying it's a formula, but there's a reach out to God. And if there's a heart here and you want God in your life, and you reach out to him in prayer, there's a little verse in my Bible that says this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's just within calling distance. He's not too far away. Oh, you say, I thought you told there was a great distance. Aye, but you know what? He can hear the cry. The Bible says the word is nigh thee. Even in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He hears a cry. And if there's someone here and you genuinely want salvation, he won't pass you by. In case of blind Bartimaeus, the crowd were trying to get him to shush up, but it says Jesus himself stood still. And if there's someone here and you genuinely want to know that true God, and you genuinely want to be redeemed, liberated, freed from the bondage of sin, and you cry out, you'll be saved. By the way, it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord Jesus as your mediator, the one who's bridged the gap. It's a wonderful thing to be redeemed, liberated from your sins. You say, does that mean when I come to Christ that I'll be absolutely perfect? Well, I want to tell you, that won't be happening. There's nobody perfect in this room. But you will be redeemed. That is to say, you'll be given a new power to live a different kind of life. He'll give you the Holy Spirit. You say, but you don't know how bad it is, my life, Dylan. I'll tell you, he'll give you the Holy Spirit in order for you to start telling the truth. Because you don't know how hard it is. I just blow up. I have a short fuse. Well, let me tell you, he'll give you the Holy Spirit and he'll help you to get a calm temperament. You see, you don't know what it is for me, my alcohol addiction. He'll give you the power to become a teetotaler. That's what he'll do. He'll not make you Mr. Perfect. You'll fail like the rest of us. But he will give you a new power to live a different kind of life. It's not about you, it's about him. The other big word I want to speak about is another word. It's called reconciliation. This is the word we've got here in Ephesians. You who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Reconciliation is a word that and even mediation is more used in disputes in the work. So that there's two folk in the office and they're at loggerheads with one another. And they might bring a mediator in to help them get together and they can then be reconciled. So two folk have got a problem and there's reconciliation in order to resolve the hostility between two parties. But the reconciliation we have here is between God and us. And now there's not two sides to the story. There's only really one side to the story, because God's done nothing wrong. We've done something wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to understand that we need to be reconciled. We need to be reconciled to God. We have sinned. And there's a big problem between us and God. And now There's hostility, and we are now an enemy of God. It's not so much the idea of being in bondage, it's the idea of being an enemy of God. And you say, well, what can I do? How can I possibly make peace with God? We sometimes hear people say that. You're going to make your peace with God. You know, you could make your peace with God if you tried, not if you died. But thank God, God is not only holy, he's a God of love. And God sent his darling son into this world to be the reconciler of this world. The Bible puts it this way. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So then we then, as ambassadors for Christ, that's what the Bible calls me, an ambassador for Christ, one that represents the Lord Jesus, have a message. And what is my message? Be reconciled to God. The Lord Jesus has come, and the problem between God and the human race, the problem that's created the hostility, is our sin. Our sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come. And when he went to Calvary's cross, the Bible says he was made sin for us. Him that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is to say, men did put nails through his hands and feet. Men did spit upon his blessed face. Men did lacerate his blessed back. And they did tear the beard from his face. They did spike him to the cross, and the world did their worst then. But God also began to judge his own son for your sins and mine. And not only was there a great price paid for my soul at Calvary, it was also a punishment executed upon his son for my sin. He was never made a sinner, ladies and gentlemen. That's a blasphemous thought. He was never made sinful. That's a horrific thought. He was made sin. That is to say, imputed to him, vented against him, was the wrath of God for all sin. Now God, on a righteous basis, can say, the problem between you and me has now been resolved. He's taken all my punishment. And now, sir, now, madam, you can be reconciled to me. We can be at peace. Isn't that amazing? You can be one of my friends. You can be one of my sons. You can come into my family. You can sit at the king's table. I can take you to the Father's house. Because my son has died for you. And so he asks us as ambassadors to go out with a message. Be reconciled to God. You see, that's not a big message. Be ye reconciled to God. Five words. That's it. That's our message to you tonight. Be you, whoever you are, reconciled to God. But the basis by which you can have that big bridge, that big distance brought nigh, made near, at peace. And so you can look up, and there's a blue sky between you and God. And the great cloud of your sin can be removed. You can have reconciliation. You can know him as your Father. You can know him as your Savior. You can know him as your friend. You know, the Lord Jesus is my friend. Do you know that? He's not only my Savior and my Lord. I walk with him and talk with him along life's pathway. I'm in his family. I don't deserve to be. I'm given this position of privilege, ladies and gentlemen. I have now been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Brought near. It was that very verse that was used to save me in Romans 10. The word is nigh thee, near thee, even in thy heart. Thy mouth, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I love to go back over that verse. You shall be saved. How can I be so sure that I shall be saved? How do I do it? I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord. I make him the Lord of my life. Hand over the reins of my life to the Lord Jesus. And I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. I'm saved. I now have him as my mediator. He's bridged the gap. I now have him as my reconciler. I now no longer an enemy. Why? I'm a friend. I'm a son. I'm now no longer a slave. He's my redeemer. Why? I'm now a free man, liberated to serve God. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to have such a saviour. And a wonderful thing to know that all the things that you regret about, all the guilt, is gone. Wiped clean by the blood of Christ. But you know, that was a solemn chapter we read in Luke 16. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to a place where there's no more pain and there's no more sin. I'm going to heaven. I want to tell you, I don't deserve it. I just deserve hell. I'm just a guilty sinner like everyone else. I deserve the lake of fire. But Jesus died for me. And because he died for me, I'm going to be with him. He says, if I go, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And even though I don't deserve it, I'm regarded to be in Christ, and I'm justified, and I'm redeemed, and I'm reconciled, and, well, I'm going to be with him. And I'll never know the flames of hell. When we read about that poor man being in hell, being in torments, is there anybody here that didn't feel for him? Is there anybody here that didn't feel sorry for that man? I certainly did. And when he said that he wanted just a few drops of water to cool his tongue, did we not feel for that man? And when he longed that someone would go back to his brothers, and we heard about that great gulf fixed, there was no return. And when you pass over the threshold of time into eternity, there's no return. And there's no further opportunity then. And there's no escape route from hell to heaven. There's a great gulf fixed. And why would that be, ladies and gentlemen? It's because that distance that you are at between you and God now, you've wanted to maintain it. You didn't want the mediator. You didn't want the person of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you nigh to God. You wanted your sins too much. So you left the tent unsaved. And that distance you want in life, God says, well, if you won't accept my salvation, if you won't accept my Saviour, you'll get what you want for all eternity. And that you'll be at a distance from God for all eternity. I don't know what hell's like, but I know that something that I know that much. God is love, and there's no love there. God is light, and there's no light there. I know it's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I don't want that for any one of our hearers here. I don't want it for anyone. That's why we're preaching this gospel. And that's why we're having to be so straight from the Word of God. My dear friend, God loves you. My blessed Saviour died that you might be saved, that you might have your sins forgiven. When he came to be that mediator, he'll never do it again. It's a once for all act. For every man and woman and boy and girl, it's all been done. The work's all finished. You've just got to accept that you've got a problem in your life of sin. And you've just got to accept there's the only hope that you can have is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. And fall at his feet and crown him Lord of all. My prayer is you'll do this tonight. It's too serious, you know, to leave for another night. You know, in that very passage in 2 Corinthians 5 where it speaks about reconciliation, it says this: now is the accepted time. And now is God's day of salvation. Hebrews says, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Our appeal to you is, be reconciled to God. We beseech you in Christ's stead. We're not sales merchants. We're not here to, you know, try and use flowery language. We're ambassadors for Christ who love your soul. And we beseech you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Join that group of Christians in Ephesians. But now in Christ Jesus. Ye, now in Christ Jesus. Now in Christ Jesus. You're now saved. But you once were afar off. But you've been brought nigh. Brought near by the blood of Christ. May God bless you. Our Father, we come to Thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that